Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Real Prison, Real Freedom from award-winning reporter Rosser McDonald chronicles the transformation of a notorious Texas inmate, Ricky Smith, reputed to be the most violent man in the Texas Department of Corrections and the entire Texas prison system. This is Rosser's first book, but he's an experienced writer, 16 years reporting news on TV stations in Oklahoma and Texas, then 28 years as a producer at the Radio and Television Commission, SPC. 12 of those years, Rosser produced and scripted documentaries for use on NBC TV stations. 2 brought Emmy Award nominations. He has many Telly Awards, cable TV's version of the Emmys, and many other recognitions as well. Rosser met Ricky Smith 30 years ago while filming an award-winning documentary about prison ministry. Real Prison, Real Freedom tells the transformation of one of Texas' most notorious inmates and a glimpse of the country's prison system. And acclaimed journalist and author Rosser McDonald is our guest on This Week in America. Rosser, a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
This is such an important message, and looking forward to talking about this book and all the messages you have in the book. I'm going to start by talking about Ricky. I mentioned that you met him in doing this documentary. Talk a little bit about his background, why he was in prison, and what was it about his story that really captured your attention?
Well, he grew up, he had a early in his childhood, it was fairly normal, but then when he got a little older, his dad really didn't know what to do with a boy. And so he was pretty harsh with Ricky. And on the other hand, his mother was a very doting mother. And so, you know, you had the conflict between the two. But he grew up then. He had dyslexia. And he had trouble in school, especially with spelling words, which his dad used a belt to try to make him spell those words. But but finally, after he finished the seventh grade. I don't know that he finished it, but they passed him out of it anyway. And he decided that was enough. He wasn't going back. And so when the school bus would come, he'd go out to, like, he was going to catch the bus, and then he'd circle back around and get his little boat and his dog, and they'd go cruising up and down Chocolate Bayou. Their house was on Chocolate Bayou there in the south of Houston. And so in his cruising around, he began to notice, you know, things in people's yards. There were other houses along the bayou, and he would see something in somebody's yard that, hey, I could use that. So he kind of looked around, went up, got it, and carried it off. And more and more he was doing that, and even began to go into the houses and all to get what things that he wanted to get, and which basically is burglary. And the sheriff finally figured out probably that Ricky was his man as far as the burglary epidemic there in that area. And so they came and got Ricky. In the meantime, a lot of other things had happened. Ricky had gotten in trouble, and his lawyer and the judge had figured out that the solution to that was, now get this, the solution was that Ricky and his girlfriend would marry and live somewhere else. And that was the solution to, solving the crime problem. But the sheriff then, because Ricky was, supposed to be living somewhere else, the sheriff decided that, as long as he stayed out of my county, he's okay. I'll leave him alone. So there were faults within the law, the lawing system there, and so it contributed to the fact that Ricky didn't get in trouble about all these things. In the meantime, his dad taught him how to do work in building, in construction. His dad was a well-known superintendent construction superintendent in Houston, was in charge of building a number of the large famous buildings like, you know, Humble and so on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but anyhow, then Ricky's, that was the beginning of his lawlessness. And then there were fights and drugs and all these kind of things contributed. So finally, he was arrested on a drug charge and was convicted and sent to prison for a 10-year term. So he got there and he had 10 years to serve. But in the meantime, in the next two or three, he could have gotten out in two or three years. But instead, in two or three years, he added 300 more years, 399-year sentences for attempted murder.
Amazing. And that's in prison.
In prison. He and other things, being in the Aryan Brotherhood, other problems like that came along, and it just put Ricky in the spot where he just had to attack people. And he was particularly, he was fighting against the guards, the prison system itself. And of course, when he would attack them or fight against them, then they would retaliate to him.
Yes.
They'd bring the squad in to, shake down his cell, and get him out and lay him on the floor with very tight handcuffs or whatever. And so it was just a back and forth kind of situation there between he and the guards, except that some of his were very, very tough. He, stabbed one officer with a spear that went all the way through to his back, not out his back, but to his back. He should have died, but he didn't, because there was a doctor on the unit at that moment that knew what to do. So he recovered. And he stabbed, and many others. They had these three attempted murder charges against him, and when they convicted him on all three of those, the prosecutors just said, that's enough, and they forgot all these other charges that were against him. Some were attempted murder, assault, whatever, and they just dismissed all those other charges because they said, he's got 300 years anyway.
Yes, it's such an incredible story that you tell so well. Our guest is Rosser McDonald. The book is Real Prison, Real Freedom. Rosser is R-O-S-S-E-R McDonald. His website, rossermcdonald.com. You'll find the book at Amazon, all of the usual places. I can link, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You touch on so many issues that I think are still relevant in society today. The upbringing that Ricky had, he was almost destined to be someone that will be in the judicial system and caught up in prison. Also prisons, the jail correction officers that you talk about. Let's talk about the correction officers. When you read the life they go through, never really knowing when they go into work if they're going to go home that night, how do they even find people to do this job? They really put it on the line every day, don't they?
Yes, and it's difficult because the pay is quite low for a very important job. So they go in, and they have such turnover in the prison. And we're talking about Texas right now.
Yes.
They have such a turnover that they have to hire people and bring them in, and they don't really have a chance to get trained. And it's kind of a catch-22 thing. They're just, it doesn't make sense that you operate a prison that way. But they didn't have any real alternative in how to operate the prison. So you had all these officers who were not well trained, and they reacted poorly a lot of times when Ricky would say something to them. And in the meantime, of course, the Aryan Brotherhood was a big factor there, because they put out hit lists, kill this guy because he talked back to the boss or whatever. And they had a hit list on Ricky because Ricky said, "That's stupid. Don't kill that guy. I mean, it's over marijuana. We don't care. We've got enough marijuana. And so don't, you know, why would you kill him?" So they put Ricky on the hit list since he argued with them. So the Aryan Brotherhood was making contributions through all of that. And, of course, they're active still. They're active not in prisons, but also outside of prisons.
Oh, yes.
They are active and very, very effective in, you know, the drug business and so on.
Well, you talk about the Texas prison system and all they went through, being labeled one of the best in the country, having a judge come in and make major changes because what they were doing was basically unconstitutional. The prison system pushing back. Time is going by so quickly, but just talk briefly about that. What the prison system went through, and is it any better today with all that they've gone through? Is it any better today than it was when you started on this story?
Well, the system back then used what they called building tenders. And building tenders were inmates who agreed to cooperate with the prison system officials. And in exchange, they would get some, better privileges. And their job then was to keep peace within their cell block. And, of course, they were not that careful about how people's rights and caring about people. They just wanted to get their job done, make people be quiet so that their cell block did not have any problems with the officers. So that was the system that was working for years and years in Texas prisons, and that was what made the system efficient in the eyes of the man who the penologist who wrote the commendation saying that Texas is one of the better prison systems in the country. But then just a few years later, Judge William Wayne Justice, federal judge, said Texas was treating inmates unconstitutionally. And so he took charge of the whole prison system, which at that time would have been like, I don't know, maybe 70 or 80 different prison units scattered all around the state. But he took charge of running the prison system and said, "We're going to do it this way. We're going to do things that way." And so that was his approach to it, was we're going to change the system one way or another. And there was major reaction. Well, the prison system itself, the heads of the prison system said, "Well, no, we don't have building tenders. No, we're not mistreating anybody," blah, blah, blah. And denied the things that the judge was accusing them of. So they went through a trial that lasted a year, and when that trial was over, it was judged that the prison system was at fault. And so then they had to learn, okay, how are we going to change? And the judge prescribed the changes that they needed to make. So they started working on those, but officers who had been there a while said, "Wait, It worked better before."
Yes.
The system we had before was more efficient than what you're talking about now. And they resisted all these things that the judge was instituting in the prison system. And then there were some, of course, that went along. They did the right thing, followed the directions of the judge. One of those was Keith Price, who became a warden at that time. At this time, he was an officer, like I think a captain or so.
Yes.
And he was put in charge of those the investigating charges of use of force. So when an officer used force, he would investigate to see if there was a justification for that officer to use that force. And he became an enemy of many of the prison officers at that time, just because he was seemed to be on the other side from what they were.
Well, you do a remarkable job.
That's another part of the story is in the book is Warden Price's connections.
Yes, and I love the way you portray him, and we learn so much about what actually goes on in the prison system. The book is Real Prison, Real Freedom, Rosser McDonald. I mentioned the book is this transformation that Ricky goes through, and I want to touch on this before we run out of time. What is this transformation process that Ricky goes through that changed his life, and it started with what a couple from a ministry that visits him? Talk about that and why that was so impactful and really changed Ricky's life.
Well, in the book, we give the story of, like, I don't know, maybe 10 attacks that he made on the officers and inmates and so on. And there were a lot more than that, but those were the ones that would be in the book. But then through that, Ricky was just, he developed hatred. Ricky had a kind of a code of honor of his own. And that was, if he tells you something, then he's going to do it. I mean, he feels bound to do that. And whether that's he says, I'm going to do something good for you, or whether I'm going to, you know, hurt you, which either way, but he did live up to what he said to them. But he was just full of rage and hatred. And, you know, it took over basically his life in a way that, I mean, he was controlled by rage and hatred even more than he was controlled by being inside the walls and the wires and all those things of the prison system. But eventually, I mean, those things, he just wore him down. And finally, well, he really just was, he had a plan that they were going to get out of his cells, he and a couple of other guys, take over the cell, kill a guard, blah, blah, blah. So they tried three times. They had three plans that they tried to do that with, but each one of them failed. And Ricky thought, you know, what's wrong here? I mean, what is it? It's always my plans have always happened well before. So what's happening now? Maybe it's God. Maybe God is trying to protect those people. Maybe God doesn't like me. So he's, you know, he's thinking that way. But in the meantime, he got out a letter that had been sent to him 2 years before by someone who said, I'm going to pray for you, blah, 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 and gave some scripture. He used a scripture from Matthew where Jesus said, come unto me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, when Ricky got to that, to rest, he thought, rest, that's what I need, is rest. And that started him on the process of looking into what Jesus means by I'll give you rest, and how does he give you rest. And so finally, Ricky got down on his face on the floor, concrete floor in his cell, and said, Jesus, I'm yours. If you want me, I will come to you. I'm willing for you to come in and take control of my life. And so he felt, after that prayer, he felt relieved. He felt rested somewhat. And in fact, he went to sleep. So that convinced him, you know, there is something to this God stuff. And this is after, when he was like 13, 14 years old, he went out in the woods and cursed God and said, if that's the kind of God you are, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You can go to hell. And so now here he is accepting Jesus into his life. And recognizing that there is a God and that he needs to pay attention to God and live as he wants him to. So then he went from there to tell other. I mean, you get excited about that, and you've got to go tell other people about it.
Yes.
And that's what he did. And he has, for 30 years, he's been telling other people about it. And in fact, he's brought many, many people to faith in Jesus Christ by telling them his story, and that includes inmates and officers. And so he's basically a missionary in the prison system.
Going to say he's got sort of
moving to a different prison unit. He's got a whole new group of people that is his mission field.
Yeah, I was going to say he sort of got his own ministry going within the prison system, and thus the title of the book, "Real Prison, Real Freedom." Keep in mind, as Rosser's talking about this transformation, this was someone who was labeled the most notorious inmate in the whole Texas penal system. The book is "Real Prison, Real Freedom." Rosser McDonald. His website is rossermcdonald.com. Rosser with two S's. You'll find the book at Amazon, all of the usual places. Link on at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Time is going by so quickly. A couple minutes left in the program. Why do you think Ricky is so successful in spreading this message? You would almost think there would be people that don't want to hear this message, but he's one of them, and he seems to be very effective, as you said, in spreading the message.
Yes, well, and he is able to tell them, I lived the way you're living.
Yes.
Or I lived the evil that is going on here. But I changed, and this is how I changed. And so he's able to tell them his personal experience with being on the bad side and coming through the transition to the good side. Now, you know, the bottom line of all of this is human nature. It's human nature that got Ricky into trouble so much and caused him to do so much damage in the prison system and to different people. He was just following his human nature. And the transition that he made was to stop living by his human nature and learn how to live by God's nature. And that doesn't happen just to, you know, automatically. You have to learn. And he, fortunately, he had a volunteer chaplain and others that that helped him and guided him through that. One example was this volunteer chaplain told him, you know, you've got to forgive all those people that you hurt and all those people that have hurt you. And Ricky said, I can't do that. And Jack said, you have to do that. I mean, God forgives you as you forgive others. And you get that in the Lord's Prayer. So so Ricky said, okay, I'll try. And he began, and he was very faithful. Every time he saw someone, he had the opportunity to talk to someone that he had been crossways with. He apologized and asked for forgiveness. And many times, you know, they would accept it. Sometimes they just turn and walk away.
Yes.
But it's changing from following human nature to following God's nature. But our society is just rampant with human nature. I mean, that's what people live. It's, you know, it's all about me. No one matters but me.
Yes.
And so what you do needs to be something for me. And that's kind of the way Ricky was during the real prison part of the book. But then he became to recognize that that there's much greater value in doing things the way God is, God teaches, and become one of His. And he will help, you know, his talking to other inmates and all that. He senses that Jesus or the Holy Spirit is right there with him to help him in that witnessing.
And that's the real freedom part of the title, Real Prison, Real Freedom. Our guest on the program, Rosser McDonald, R-O-S-S-E-R, his website, rossermcdonald.com. Book available wherever books are sold, amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, readersmagnet.com, all of the usual places. I want to just wrap up the program briefly. You've seen so much in literally the decades that you've been doing the documentaries, focusing on Texas prison ministries. Are we making any progress? Are we doing anything right in rehabilitating the people that are in there so they can reenter society successfully?
Not really. Well, there are some good programs that going on in the last few years in the Texas prison system, and that helps. But you know, they talk about prison reform, and there really is, that's just not something that you expect to happen, because prisons, all prisons operate, each state has its own prison system, and they all operate separately, plus there's the federal system. And they'll make rules and policies and all they have, but they have limited effect, because in a prison unit, the warden is the one in charge, and the major, the warden is in the executive part of it. The major is down with the inmates and the officers, and so they're the ones that that control the attitude that that is happening within that prison system. And you know, that's more, they have more effect than what the policies of the system are. And then there's reaction from officers to what an inmate says from his cell, and there's reactions from an inmate when he hears an officer complaining about him or whatever. So there's, you know, they go back and forth with each other, and there again, that's, it's human nature.
Well, we're back to that human nature part of that again, and how prevalent that is and the negative impact that has. This book is so well done. Our guest is Rosser McDonald. The book is Real Prison, Real Freedom, an excellent book, receiving rave reviews. It's a must-read on so many levels. The book available at Amazon, the usual places. RosserMcDonald.com is Rosser's website. What an amazing career that you've had, continue to have in writing this book and in getting the word out there. Rosser, it's been our pleasure and honor to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us today. Excellent job with this book. This is the first book. Are you working on anything else?
Well, I'm working on a biography now. Whether I'll ever get finished with it or not, we'll see. But I've enjoyed being on your program, Rick. I appreciate your having me and being able to tell the story. And, of course, the real story of the book, and there's all this evil that you go through, but the real story is that he turned around away from that evil and learned the new way of living, the way that God wants him to live.
Real Freedom, the title is so well, it sort of succinctly tells the story, Real Prison and Real Freedom. And keep working on the biography and let me know how it's going, because I'd love to have you back to talk about this amazing career in journalism that you've had. Rosser McDonald, our guest on the program. Book Real Prison, Real Freedom. His website is RosserMcDonald.com. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.